From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. It is midsummer, and everybody's out at the beach or in the backyard or grilling, and what better thing to have in your radio than music? Okay, here's something better. Interviews with musicians. It's witty banter you can dance to.
Today, we bring you some of our favorite Not My Job games with musicians. We begin with singer-songwriter Nico Case. She joined us in July 2009, along with panelists Adam Felber, Paula Poundstone, and Julia Sweeney.
I began by asking Nico to describe her own style of music.
I don't really know what to call it. I'm a very loud singer. Loud.
You're loud. You're a loud singer.
Modern, independent, loud singing.
Well, actually, let's play a little bit of your music, because I also am interested in the difference between your speaking voice and your singing voice. So here's a song. It's called Letter from an Occupant, which you did with the band The New Pornographers. So that's you singing. It doesn't sound like you talking. You're sort of like a modern-day Jim Neighbors in that regard.
The thing that's weird about that, and they didn't tell me this till years later, is they actually changed the pitch of that song. So I don't actually sing like that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's higher than I actually sing.
So you're kind of a modern-day Chipmunks.
Exactly. Every time I hear it, I was like, are you sure that was me who did that? And apparently it was.
Wow, who knew? Well, tell us about the life of an indie rock superstar. We imagine it's all just sort of glamour and groupies and debauchery.
Well, I think that's for men in rock, but
really?
If you're a woman in rock, you find that basically people don't talk to you unless they're eBay guys who want you to sign stuff that they can sell on eBay later and they don't actually know who you are.
That's it?
Glamorous rock and roll groupies hanging around and feeding you grapes and stuff, that doesn't really happen.
You mean you don't have skinny male hipsters throwing their ironic T-shirts at you?
Oh, my God, no.
Really?
It's only...
Do you wish you did?
The one time I ever saw a guy waiting to talk to me in line after the show, it turned out to be my cousin. But
oh, come on.
I'm not even kidding. I saw him, and I was like, there is a tall, handsome guy waiting to talk to me. And he got up to me, and sure enough, he wanted to talk to me, and he said, hi, I'm your cousin. And I was like, of course you are.
That's crazy.
Did he get a signature for something to sell on eBay as well while he was there?
No.
All right, you have lived, as far as we know, in Virginia, Washington State, Vancouver, Chicago, and Arizona, right? And you're a relatively young woman, and now you're moving to Vermont.
I'm kind of like a hobo.
What is chasing you, Nico Case?
I lived in Vermont when I was little, and I always wanted to go back because everyone's so kind. And they don't age. It's really weird.
They don't age?
But I like that. They don't age.
But don't,
well,
traditionally...
Well, I saw my friend's mom for the first time in 15 years a few months ago, and she was even wearing the exact same shirt that she'd been wearing the last time I saw her, which I was in, like, sixth grade.
My experience reading and watching a lot of science fiction growing up, instead of starting my own band like you did, is that communities where people don't age usually have a terrible dark secret. Like some sort of alien...
It could be
alien...
a pet cemetery situation.
Yeah,
for
example.
But I'm going to find out.
There you're going to go. And we understand that in Vermont, you have a barn filled with pianos.
I do.
Why do you have a barn filled with pianos?
Well, I went on Craigslist to find a piano for the farmhouse, and there were so many free pianos that I thought it would be really hilarious to see how many free pianos you can get, because there was nobody wants their pianos, right? And then, you know, I also learned that free pianos aren't free, because you have to move them and then you have to tune them. They're like having an entire team of draft horses or something. They're very high maintenance.
Wow.
In the end. And also getting a piano on Craigslist does not guarantee that it is tunable. I have 8 and there are 6 that were tunable.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you do with 6 tuned pianos?
Well, what we did is we made a remote recording unit, and we had lots of people come out, some folks from the New Pornographers and myself, and Paul Rigby from my band, and Garth Hudson from the band.
Wow.
And we did some recording, and there's birds and frogs and all kinds of stuff that you can't get rid of on there, too, so that was pretty fun.
I think also a good question is, what do you do with two pianos that can't be tuned? Just not,
well,
the recordings aren't as good.
Literally put them out to pasture and let Jesus do them. Just see what it looks like. It'll be like Black Beauty at the end of Black Beauty.
It'll
and
be
I
great.
Have the remainder of my days on the soft grasses, you know.
Well, Nico Case, we are so pleased and honored to have you. Nico, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
They taste like a magic combination of sugar, happiness, and chalk.
So obviously your parents were either fans of the drug-addicted singer Nico, the Velvet Underground, or, and we prefer this option, they just loved Necco wafers. Those are the yummy, hard little discs made by the New England Confectionery Company. So we are going to ask you, in fact, about Necco.
Bring it.
All right. We put these together, three questions together. We got help from Steve Almond. He's the author of a book called Candy Freak. Get two questions right, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right. Carl, who is Nico Case playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Kate Bowman Johnson of Philadelphia.
Ready to play?
Yeah.
She's already ready.
Kate,
she's,
I'm going to do my best for you.
All right. I like this focus here. The history of the candy, Necco wafers, goes back a long way. In fact, the wafers could be found where? A, floating on the water by the thousands after the sinking of the Titanic. B, in the rucksacks of Union soldiers during the Civil War. They just loved them. Or C, at Ellis Island in the 1890s, where they were the first, quote, American food many immigrants ever tried.
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C, Ellis Island. The immigrants arriving there, being handed these dusty little wafers, going, oh, my God, the food here is small and dry and crunchy and tasteless. That's your choice?
That's my choice, yes.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was B. It was the Union soldiers.
No.
The candy was first made in 1847. And
Come
Union
on, they
soldiers.
Always talk about hardtack. They never talk about Necco wafers. Ken Burns hasn't put that in the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
I know every single thing about every battle, but I don't know that they ate Necco wafers. I can picture their severed limbs on the battlefield, but they never said anything about Necco wafers.
No, didn't you hear it?
Lincoln mentions it in the Gettysburg Address.
Lincoln was too depressed to bring up the whole Necco wafer thing.
No, Necco wafers were first made in 1847, and Union soldiers carried them. They enjoyed them in extreme situations that could be thrown with great effect at the enemy.
You don't remember that from the Ken Burns documentary?
Well, it was in black and white. I couldn't tell if the discs were colorful or not. So.
Oh, no, it was like Garrison.
My dearest Annabelle, thank you for the letter and for those delicious round wafers.
It would brighten my soul greatly should you
send me some Necco wafers.
Set aside some Necco wafers for me at my funeral.
Today,
miraculously, I had a Necco wafer in my breast pocket. And it turned aside the
Elijah Hunt Rose.
Here we go. Question number two. One of the enduring questions, maybe since those first days of the Necco wafer, maybe this is what they talked about, waiting for battle in the Civil War. What exactly are the purple ones supposed to taste like? Is it A, beet, B, clove, or C, steak?
I'm going to go with B, clove.
And you're right. They are clove-flavored candy.
Necco wafers under his saddle, and he wasn't in battle, which he never was.
He actually refused to commit his troops to the 7 days battle because he didn't have enough Necco wafers. Did you know that?
No, he didn't. They're not moving anywhere until the Necco wafers come. We must build a pontoon bridge to bring the Necco wafers.
General Lee's plans for the Battle of Antietam were found on a Necco wafers wrapper. All right.
Curse their Yankee candy.
They're as flinty and indestructible as the candies they carry.
All right, here's your last question. Get this right, you win it all. Necco wafers today.
Okay.
They're odd tasting. They have one use in which they outshine any other confection. What is it? A, practice communion wafers for kids. B, leveling wobbly tables. Or C, replacement ammunition for the popular Rayline brand toy disc shooting guns?
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, the communion wafers?
Yeah, but
yes.
I mean, I never had one of those guns. I don't know.
Go with A. You're right. It's A. Congratulations. Now, they're good for nickel wafers because of their shape, size, and lack of flavor are good for both practicing First Communion and for having your own ceremonies at home, if you're so inclined.
They build your relationship with the Lord like no other can do.
They really will.
They really
in. Carl, how did Nico Case do in our quiz?
Nico did very well, Peter. Two correct answers, so she wins for Kate Bowman-Johnson. Congratulations,
oh,
Nico.
Oh, boy.
We did it, Kate.
You did it. Congratulations.
We did it.
I love it. Nico Case is one of my favorite musicians. Nico, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
Bye, Nico.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good luck, Kate.
Surprise!